So, quick reaction, first reaction to the way he presented last night?
Well, if the task was to attract a lot of attention and a lot of buzz, he succeeded in spades. You know, he had a ton of people out. He had a ton of media attention. And he's got the kind of coverage this morning that only prime ministers get. So on that score, he succeeded. But he needs to do more than that.
Yeah, no, that was going to happen anyway, just by virtue of him showing up. But, I mean, what didn't he say or what did he say last night that either resonated in the reality of the country today and with the generation that he hopes, I guess, will follow him?
I don't know where he stands on foreign investment. I don't know where he stands on the Northern Gateway Pipeline. You know, we don't know where he stands on Quebec flying the Canadian flag in the National Assembly in Quebec City. There's a whole bunch of questions now that remain about where the guy stands on some of the important issues of the day. And what I was very surprised, a lot of the media who were present, because there was a throng of them present, let him get away without, you know, answering on some of those questions. So I guess that'll come in the days ahead.
Just as a performance, though, Warren, I mean, both, you know, you and I know, and we've watched leaders who can soar rhetorically and who can stand there with confidence. I mean, I guess on the one hand, even though we can't compare it to his dad, I was expecting a little more of the fist-clenching, soaring rhetoric that obviously he's learned from his father's knee and has to bring forward throughout his political career.
The comparisons to his dad, I mean, he's benefited, you know, from his dad's last name and the star power it gives him. He's benefited from a privileged upbringing because of that. You know, got to meet lots of famous people and hear, you know, lots of famous people speak and debate. But it's also a bit of a curse because, you know, he gets these comparisons to his father. So I think one thing you're going to be hearing from him, you heard it last night and you'll hear it in the future, is that I'm not my dad. You know, I'm my own man, and that's the way it should be. And I think all of us who are sons understand a bit of that, and we should probably give him a bit of a break on that front.
Okay. What about liberals generally? You've been so much a part of the Liberal Party. Is the return to focus on diversity and the middle class an appropriate position to take now when Canada is leading the world economically, leading the world militarily, leading the world, I guess, in diversity?
I heard from one of his guys last night, and he told me in advance what the speech would be saying about the middle class. I thought that was a smart move, because if you look at what President Obama is doing in the United States, and Obama is winning, he's doing the same thing. He's talking about the forgotten middle class and, you know, the gap between them and rich guys like Mitch Romney. So, you know, Trudeau has got to do the same kind of thing. The challenge, of course, is how does he talk about the 99% versus the 1% when he obviously grew up in the 1% and in a very privileged upbringing.
Are liberals going to embrace this message?
They have already. I mean, the one drag is that, you know, along with all the attention he's brought, the excitement and all that stuff, it scared off a lot of candidates. So, you know, there was some young guy in Manitoba who was thinking of running, who was running, who quit last night to support Trudeau. So hopefully, you know, we do have a good race, because the last time the Liberals had a coronation in 2003 with Paul Martin, it didn't exactly work out very well.
All right, he made the point that he's not interested in any kind of a merger with the NDP, but is that still what some of you in the Liberal Party see as the salvation?
Well, to me, it's just math. I mean, if Harper's winning majority governments with less than 40% of the vote, the people who are winning around 60% of the vote need to take a look at that and think about what it means. I didn't find him slamming the door on that quite so equivocally last night. He said, you know, that's not something that's part of the plan at the moment. And that makes sense. When you're running for leader of a party, you don't, you know, run to become leader and then turn the lights out. But I think at some point, Liberals and New Democrats are going to have to take a look at that at the federal level and consider it.
Did he write that speech himself?
Yeah, I know him for a few years, and there were some things in there that I've heard him say before and that he considers to be very important to him. There's one guy who is close to him who would have advised him on it, and that's Gerald Butts, who used to be the policy director to Dalton McGuinty. And Gerald is from Cape Breton, head of the World Wildlife Fund, and is a very, very sharp guy. So Justin's lucky to have him on board.
I made the point this morning myself that I wasn't sure watching him whether, or I wasn't convinced while watching him that he was doing this out of conviction as opposed to expectation. He didn't make that point.
That's an interesting question. If you talked to him over the years, as I've done, about, you know, running and would he ever seek leader, he's always said no, and because he never felt it was the right time, you know. And he said, "I've got a lot to learn." He said, "You know, I'm a young guy. I've got a lot to learn about the country, and myself, and I also got a young family." So I think this has all happened a little fast. I mean, who would have thought the Liberal Party would go to third place and Michael Ignatieff would, you know, quit? Who would have thought that, you know, Bob Rae would step back? So it's all happening pretty quickly, and perhaps a bit, you know, more quickly than he had expected or wanted. But that's politics.